looking right here, there's four, and you go over there, so, say 548, 54.
Same way after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Let's pray. Father, we're thankful for yet one more opportunity to gather around thy table. We're thankful for this cup and the loaf which we partake of in remembrance of thy Son. Through him we have life and heaven. We pray that the things we say and do this morning will please me to thy sight. We ask for forgiveness when we fail thee. These words we ask in thy name. Amen. Amen.
Father, we thank you for the many gifts you have given us. We come now and bring a portion of these gifts back. We pray that you will use them for your kingdom.
take a quick look at the prayer list. I think Benny's doing great. We might want to add Maxine to the prayer list before this is over. But I think Benny's doing fine. Is there any news on anyone that we have on here, the one that's on the prayer list?
My mom's doing good. I took her to the plastic surgeon on Tuesday. He said, with her age, there's no need doing surgery, so.
Super.
She's back on no pain. She won't take any pain pills. She said she has no pain, so she's good to go.
All right. Good news. Anybody else? Anything on that? Yes.
Can we remember Ron Tuesday? They had a mass inside his colon Tuesday morning. They're going to do a scope, so we can remember Ron.
Definitely. We've got to get him on.
He is.
He's on there. He's there.
We've got to keep him on there. Certainly hope that works out all right. Anything, anyone else?
I added two people.
Yeah.
Gerald Peebler, that is my niece's father-in-law.
Yeah.
He's in UK with some intestinal problems. And Jean Swing is Christopher's girlfriend's grandfather. And they were deciding yesterday whether to put him in the hospital or not. He's having some really severe headaches, and he's a cancer survivor, so we hope nothing's going on there, but we need to remember him also.
Great. Will do. Anybody else? Well, let's keep all these people in our prayer all week, and pray that things work out great for them. And Ron, we're going to remember you every day, son, so things will be all right. Okay, thank you.
Four partners, one of them over here, 92, had the first and third verse, had the jury who was having the first, the whole thing.
Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we're just so thankful for this beautiful Lord today you provided for us. As we just have our veteran service out there, we bless all the veterans and giving them their time and their service to our country. Again, Father, remember those on our prayer list here, and Benny and Max and Homer and Ron and Tina, that this, when one goes down, it affects so many others. We pray a blessing upon those that are serving our country overseas and get them back home safely. Again, Father, thank you for the ones that's with the extra mile of your day. And forgive us, Father, for we fail you for these things we pray in your Son's heavenly name. Amen.
Amen.
In
the next hymn, number 385. At this time, before I bring a question on after that, Brother Wendell will come and bring our message.
Appreciate that choir. Last Sunday, after we got home, my wife said, "You mentioned the two boys we got. You didn't talk about the two girls." Well, I don't want that word to get back to them. Our youngest is Carla Kennedy. She married Donald Kennedy, and his grandfather, Stanley Kennedy, used to preach at Plum Creek for years. He was manager down camp for years. You know, everybody came north with Stanley Kennedy. And so I helped a lot of revivals for him in the 50s there at Plum Creek. And the old building, which we had to tear down this summer because it almost fell down. But we were fortunate to have 100 people. It was just a little country church. But this Easter Sunday, we moved across the road now in 100 acres of land. And this Easter Sunday, we had 1,009 for Plum Creek. But I preached there for several years after coming back from Louisville, where I was down there starting new churches for the Greater Louisville Evangelizing Association. And while I was there, I was chosen to be the first chaplain of the police department, a paid chaplain in the United States. I was paid to be a chaplain for the Jefferson County Police Department. Our other daughter, Karen, and by the way, Carla has been with the same company as the office manager for all the attorneys of Duke Energy. And so the other, Karen, her husband works there and just can't wait to retire because he got a bad back. And they tried to buy out Karen this year and she wouldn't take it because she loves to work. And Tony, they didn't try to buy Tony out because they said, "We need you." And he's the one that needs to be down there. But they bought a place in Florida with us because on the Gulf side of Florida where we live, the barometric pressure never changes 365 days a year, never changes. So you don't have any pain. And so we'll go down. But tell you that because of Karen, when she was little, we noticed that her knees were tied together, but her feet were way out wide. We take her to the doctor and he said, "Oh my, we got to correct that." So we had to make special shoes for her. And we thought, "Oh my goodness, what was she doing in school with other kids looking at her shoes?" Didn't bother her. They don't like it, they can lump it. And so then later in life, I was on a mission trip and I got back and my son met me at the airport and went, "What's going on?" "Well, Karen's in the hospital. She has Guillain-Barré," which means that it paralyzed her and it took her 2 years to get her smile back. But we had to do a lot of therapy with a special therapist in Cincinnati and drive from Louisville to Cincinnati. And she finally got her hit back. But then she had cancer and had a radical mastectomy, and the doctor said, I couldn't get it. It's in the lymph nodes. Well, you go tell her. So we go in a room with them, and she and her husband are taking care of foster children now, and she has several. And so he goes in and he says, Karen, I just could not get it out of the lymph nodes. I'm sorry about that. And she said, I'm not going to die. I got kids depending on me. And she didn't. She conquered it. And then she had different things through the life, and now she has Behçet. And she kids me because Behçet is a Asian disease, like measles is over here, but over there it affects the muscles to your organs. And so she's on full-time oxygen, except when she comes to Florida and gets down there and gets away from the pain and the muscles that leads to her, so she can go down there and live. So as soon as he retires, they're going to be in Fort Myers, Florida. But she has handled all of those. And at Plum Creek Church, she comes in and walks across the back to where they sit over in the corner. And the ladies asked me one time, said every time she comes in, we say, Karen, how you doing this morning? And she'll be carrying her little bag. And she said, oh, I'm fine, I'm fine. She said, and they told me, she said, she's not fine. No, I said, you have to understand her. She's not fine body-wise, but she's fine. Her body is deteriorating. Her body's got all that, but she's fine. And that's what she's telling you. I'm fine. And if she walked in this morning, that's what she'd tell you. I'm fine. So that's our two daughters. And you know about our two sons. Well, Armed Services Day is the third Saturday of May, honoring all those who are still serving. Veterans Day, November 11th, honoring those who have served our country in the past. My brother was in Korea on the front line as a medic. He was wounded right up on the 30th parallel. And then I wanted to go out of high school. They wouldn't take me. But I did on a mission trip, went over there, and I told Chen Young Kim, a friend of mine in Korea, I said, I'd like to go out and told the name of the valley where my brother was wounded. I said, you know where this is? He said, oh, yes, ma, I know where it is. So we drive out there, and there's a beautiful valley. You look up on the hills, the 38th parallel, still patrolled by the North Koreans. However, there's a beautiful subdivision now. But he was on the front line out getting wounded veterans back, and he was wounded severely. Memorial Day, last Monday of May, honoring those who died for our freedom. And since this country was founded, 1,316,771 have died to give us this freedom that we have this moment, this morning. One of the largest was Civil War. There's 623,000 died during the Civil War. World War II, there's 407,316. But in 1868, General John Logan was a commander of the Union Army, and he formalized this idea of decorating the graves of fallen soldiers on the last Monday of this month. And it worked. Do you know what they called it? My mother never called it anything but Decoration Day. Decoration Day. And then when we got to where we wanted three-day weekends, we moved it back over to the last Monday of the month, where it would follow Sunday. But I'd like to do something a little different this morning before we get into the message of Memorial Day. We have a Memorial Day. Let's have all of our veterans stand, please. Veterans stand. Oh, my. Oh, that's good. Appreciate you. Now, let's just remain standing. All of you who have family members who have served, maybe not here this morning, but you've had family members who've served. Oh, that's going to be about everyone. Look at that. That's about everyone. Okay. Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you for serving. Thank you for what you've done for us in service. Now, I'd like to spend a few moments this morning. This shall be a memorial to you. God says he created, you know, Adam and Eve, created by a compassionate God, created everything was spotless and sinless at the moment. And then they disobeyed. He said, the day you eat thereof, you shall surely die. He had to put that up to make us like him in order to make decisions. We're made in the image of God, so we're not robots. So they have to make a decision. Don't touch that tree. Don't eat off of that tree. And the day you eat thereof, you shall surely die. Now the word death, in any language it's ever spoken or translated, simply means separation. And the minute they did what they told not to do, they were separated from God's presence. And then eventually they were separated from earth and their bodies. The next thing happened was one son murdered another. Adam and Eve's son, one murdered another. And death, wickedness of mankind began to set in. And it became horrible until finally God said to Noah, and I want to tell you something. I've studied for years, but I can never fathom the size of Noah's ark. I could just not do that. It took him so long with no modern tools or anything to build that. And then I go over here to Williamstown and see it. Man, it is unbelievable the size. That's exact size. It is in the Bible, the exact size. And so he said to Noah, he said, I'm going to destroy everybody and start all over with you. Well, it didn't take them long getting off of that boat until they was right back ignoring God again. So he said to Abraham, I'm going to build a great nation with your people. And not because they were righteous people, but because God had a purpose now in building this great nation through Noah. It was to bring Christ into the world. Our Lamb of God. He was to bring Christ in. So the children of Israel were taken into captivity. You know, they didn't listen to God again, and they finally taken into captivity down the 400 years they were down in Egypt. And finally God said to Moses, I want you to go down there and I want you to release these children. And the last plague, you remember, it's amazing how God worked with these people, and yet how they soon forget. Isn't it amazing how soon we forget? And how generations then later had to suffer. But listen to this: the Lord said to Moses and Aaron in Egypt, "This month will be to you the first month of your year. Tell the whole community of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, each man is to take a lamb for his family, for each of his household. If a household is too small for a whole lamb, they must share it with their nearest neighbor. Having taken into account the number of people there are, you are to determine the amount of the lamb needed to accordance with each person will eat. The animals you choose must be year old males without defect, and you may take them from the sheep or goats. Take them until the 14th day of the month, and then on the people of community of Israel must slaughter them at twilight. Then they will take some of the blood and put it on the sides and tops of the doorpost." Now, they'd never done this before. They'd killed lambs before for the sacrifices. But now he said, I want you to take the blood and I want you to put it over the door and on each side of the door. And then the same night they are to eat and the meat roasted over the fire, along with bitter herbs and bread made without yeast. Do not eat the meat raw or cooked in water, but most of it over the fire, head, legs, and inner parts. Do not leave any till morning. If some are left till morning, you must burn it. This is how you will eat it: with your cloak tucked between your belt, your sandals on your feet, your staff in your hand. Eat it in haste. It will be the Lord's Passover. He had never said that before. What do you mean, Passover? Well, he tells them, on the same night I will pass through Egypt and will strike down every firstborn, both man and animals. I will bring judgment on all the gods of Egypt. I am the Lord. The blood will be a sign for you on the house where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. When I see the blood that you put up there, I will pass over you. No destruction will happen to you. This day you are to commemorate. This day you are to commemorate for the generations to come. You shall celebrate this as a festival to the Lord, a lasting ordinance. They were to remember what this meant in the future generations. They were captives in the bondage of Egypt. They believed Moses' message. And then they believed him. They acted in faith. They applied the blood like they were told to do. And God delivered them. Wow! How could they ever forget this? Because God passed over and they went through all these plagues before this. And they seen what God was doing, their God, Jehovah. But they soon forgot. And it didn't take very long. Moses said, let's get up. Let's get out of here. March toward the Red Sea. Pharaoh's army said, let's go get them. And they dropped in behind them. There was God over their head, marching toward the Red Sea. They got out there facing that sea, and they turned on Moses and said, you do bringing us out here. Didn't we tell you we could serve and die in Egypt and be buried there, and you brought us out here to die? They just watched God. Over the last several weeks, he had done these plagues. And they just, two or three nights before, watched us over Passover, if you please. And here they are fussing at Moses. Moses said, God, what do you want me to do? God says, put your staff up there. And when he did, those waters parted. And they marched over on dry land. They walked between two walls of water. The cloud that God was in was above them. And they all marched over on dry land. That's why Paul says in 1 Corinthians that we're all baptized into Moses, if you please. We've been baptized into Christ because we've come under this water. But he intercedes for them. He intercedes for them. And that's what God has to do. He intercedes for us on a daily basis. He intercedes. He is the go-between. But oh, how soon we forget. I'm not sure if I'm right here or not, but I think it's on Normandy. When those soldiers went in and they died in Normandy, there's a plaque. If you want to go over there and ever look at it, there's a plaque that says they gave all of their tomorrows that we might have today. They gave all of their tomorrows that we might have today. And one of the dangers that we have is forgetting. A few miles into the wilderness, marching toward the promised land now, they cross the Red Sea. My, now they were singing and happy. And God, and Moses said, you just wait here. I've got to go up on this mountain and talk to God. And while he was up on that mountain, guess what they did down here? They built him a golden calf and began to worship that golden calf. And God says, Moses, get out of my way. I'm going to destroy them all and start all over with you. Well, Moses could have said, okay, Lord, that's about it. Yes, start with me. Not Abraham, start with me. Moses said, no, Lord, don't do that. He interceded. He said, please, Lord, don't do that. And if you do, take me out of the book of life also. Please, don't do that. And God said, okay. Okay. And he vowed Moses to go down and live with them and change them. But he interceded. How many times, listen, how many times has Christ had to intercede for me? How many times has he interceded for you? Moses was interceding for these people, and he said, "No, Lord, please don't do that. If you do, take me also." Jesus interceded for us. It started on the cross. Because when he was on the cross, I love this song, and I sing it a lot. When he was on the cross, I was on his mind. He prayed on that cross. He interceded. He said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." He was interceding for us. It's a long way from the sheepfolds that Moses had in Midian, a long way from there to this promised land, or to Egypt even. It's a long way from heaven to Golgotha, and I've stood on that hill over there where that cross stood. It's a long way from heaven to there, from the hails of heaven to the nails of Calvary. It's a long way, but he interceded for me in order for I might have salvation. God's hatred for sin and what it does to those that he made in his image. Because on that cross we see the love of God for the sinner, covering with the blood. Covering with the blood. Listen to 1 Peter when he says, "Since you are called on the Father who judges all men's work impartially, live your lives in reverent fear. For you know that it was not with perishable things like silver and gold that you were redeemed from your empty way of life handed down from your forefathers, but it was by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, that you were redeemed." Wow. And then that's why Paul, I think, had really put this here before us. Again, we have on the front of that table, "This do in remembrance." In remembrance. Why? Because we forget. "This do in remembrance." Listen to Paul in Corinthians. "I received of the Lord that which also I passed on to you, the Lord Jesus Christ. The same night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me.' In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is a new covenant of my blood. Whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me. For whoever eateth this blood and drinketh this cup proclaims the Lord's death till he comes.' Therefore," and I remember an old professor down island used to say, "Whenever you see a therefore in the scripture, see what it's there for." For after saying that, he then says, "Therefore, whoever eats this bread and drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. A man ought to examine himself before he eats that bread and drinks that cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord eats and drinks judgment upon himself. This is why many of you are weak and sick, and a number of you have fallen asleep. But if we judge ourselves, we would not have to come to this judgment." He says, think about this before you do it. Think of what this means. "This do in remembrance of me." So we have a memorial. We have this memorial here set before us. We do every Sunday. Why? Because we're forgetful. And the reason, and we do other things because we know we're forgetful. We have little trinkets. Sometimes we carry on keychains. Why? Just to remind us. We have pictures set up in our house and our places. You walk through our house, there's pictures everywhere you look. Why? To remind us. We have reminders everywhere so that we will not forget. And so this is why we come around this table on the Lord's Day, so that we will not forget who we are and why we're here and who brought us here. And we need that. We need that. Flanders Field. Those marked graves. Helen's home church, I told you last Sunday, it was Cemetery Chapel. I had two ministries there. And you walk outside that church building, it is It is seated right in the middle of about 30 acres of cemeteries. You walk through and read names. And why do we bury our folks and put a name on there? So that we will not forget. So that we can remember. And that's what God has done with us. He has given us the ability and the power to recall. And he has told us that do not forget. He's instructed us to keep this. When you meet around the Lord's table, and in the Bible it says, upon the first day of the week when the disciples come together to break bread. Now they also taught, the apostles taught them, and the Hebrew and Jewish church sang out the Psalms. When the Gentile church came into existence, they had to start writing songs. But he said, do this. Don't forget it. Don't forget me. And we must be careful to worship that we do not forget. In Deuteronomy, it says, take heed to yourselves, lest you forget the things your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart in the days of the Lord, but teach them to your children and to your children's children. That's Moses telling the children, as they go into the promised land, remember what God has done for you all the way back from delivering you from Egypt, all the way back through wandering in the wilderness, now giving you this land of milk and honey. Remember how he put that blood on the doorpost? And let me tell you, Moses is saying, it's not what you think about the blood, it's what you do with it. It's not what you think about the blood of Christ, it's what you do with it. The blood must be applied. The blood must be applied. And Moses said, don't forget. Be sure you teach this to your children and to their children. And Psalms 8:17 says, the wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations of that forget God. And all the nations that forget God. Wow. I don't know about the prodigal son that is talked about in the scriptures. I don't know about, but I think that it says when he sat down, he began to remember. After he lost all of his money, wasted his living, he sat down and he began to remember, how many hired servants does my father have? I'm going to go back and just be one of them. His memory took over. And that's what the Bible says. This do in remembrance of me. This do in remembrance of me. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, it's not just the blood. That blood had to be applied. That night in Egypt, Father, they had to take that blood and they had to do exactly what they were told to do. Put it on the doorpost. Put it over the door. And God says, when I see that blood, I will pass over you. The blood of Jesus now has to be applied. And if there's one soul this morning, Father, that wants that blood applied to their heart, may they come as we sing to your glory. And in Jesus' name, amen. Our song, I think, is 385. Yes, 385, first lifestyle.
Oh. very much the same as the doubt. The person got a pile of mud. They're piling mud, God says, I'll pass over. I'm on it. And now Jesus said, I shouldn't have left my life. Following. Pile of mud. Good to see you this morning, Lord, bless you. And in this field, I believe you, the Lord, here in this town. Father, we pray, Lord. Thank you for this church. Thank you for this family of believers that meet you. Thank you for every soul that is a good to you. And we continue, Father, your blessings to come with you. But may your will be done, even as it has been for all these many years in this congregation. That souls may be loved.